97.5, The Fanatic.
Joining me right now is the Sixers beat writer for the Philly Inquirer, Keith Pompey. Keith, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. What's up, Pat?
How was that trip back from Indiana last night?
I flew back this morning. Unfortunately, they didn't have any late flights after the game.
Is there a lot to do in Indiana? I feel like the party scene there is non-existent.
Man, well, I had a good time.
All right.
I hung out. I mean, I know people from Indiana, so, when I got there, I went out, and then I went out after the game, spent New Year's with a couple people I know. So, when you go to a city, you got to understand every place not like Philly, but, the people, I live in Valdosta, Georgia, so I can have fun anywhere.
All right, that's good. At least you enjoyed your New Year's Eve there. I did not, because I'm a Sixers fan, and they got pasted by the Pacers for the third straight loss. Brett Brown gave us this time frame of the new year. It's now the new year. You follow the team every day. What do you see in the squad?
I see a lot of inconsistency. That's number one. And what Jay Rich said, you see some, lack of accountability, but at the same time, you look and you see what Jay Rich said. So you're starting to see some leadership. You're starting to see guys, step up and say certain things. So, with that being said, I think that it's going to get better. But to be honest with you, when I look at this roster right now, and you compare it to the roster that the Sixers had at the end of last season with Jimmy Butler, with J.J. Redick, the pieces just fit together better, and so you look at that team and you'll say that team was better than this one is now. That's not to say that it won't get better as the season progresses, but when you look at it now, the Sixers starting lineup of last year was better than the one they have right now.
Do you think they made a mistake letting Jimmy Butler go?
No, I don't, because you can sit back and you can say, yeah, it was a mistake. It was this, it was that. But I think it came down to a mix. I think it also came down to, a roster. Colton, was Jimmy going to fit in? Did Jimmy get along with all the players on the team? Did Brett Brown feel like he could coach Jimmy Butler? So I think that had a lot to do with it. And then also, we don't know if Jimmy Butler came with certain players re-signed, or take extensions. So, I know Joel loved him, but I think you have to take all that into account.
When you hear guys like Josh Richardson come out and talk about accountability, while you said that it's good because you're showing leadership, is it troubling, though, that a guy who is still pretty young and just got here, that he has to say it, and it's not coming from Joel, and it's not coming from Ben, who are supposed to be the leaders of this team?
No, because, let's face it, here's the game. Richardson has been in this league for a while. Richardson has played for, in the Miami Heat organization, where accountability is that's number one. You know that you have to be accountable. So when you have a veteran coming in from the outside looking in and saying certain things, I think it's more powerful. Because no offense to Joel, no offense to Ben Simmons, this is all they know. You know what I mean? This is what they know. And so this is a part of how they were brought up in the NBA. So that, I think, part of the reason why the Sixers went out and got Josh Richardson, Al Horford, guys like that, is to bring some accountability to the organization. So I don't have a problem with that at all.
When you look at Al Horford, who you just mentioned, he came out after last night's game and said, "I'm just not being used correctly." And then you've got Josh Richardson obviously saying what he said. I can't help but not look at the coach. And my question is, how long does Brett Brown realistically have with this team?
You know, I think that, I know a lot of people want Brett Brown fired. They wanted him fired yesterday. Like, you know, you talk to people like, oh, we don't want Brett to hop on the plane. I mean, we just don't. But when you look at the standings right now, yes, they dropped to 6. You know, there are a couple games, believe it or not, out of second place, right? I think that, you know, as bad as they're playing to us, they're just in a bunched up group. So to just give you my short answer, you know, we probably won't know Brett Brown's fate until the playoffs. You know, everything is going to be based off of what they do in the playoffs. Like, yes, if they get out in the second round again, you know, Brett Brown's going to be gone. You know, but, you know, unless this thing, like, totally falls apart, you know, I think Brett Brown is going to continue to be the coach. And part of the reasoning is, you know, if the Sixers think that they have a team that can go to the championship still, and if they're still a couple games out, and if you fire Brett Brown, it's not like you can go out there and hire, like, Jason Kidd or Mark Jackson. I'm just throwing names out there, guys who, you know, who would be good quality candidates. You can name some other ones, but you can't do that right now. So you have to look at your bench coaches, and you have to say, well, is this guy capable enough to win a championship? And if you're unsure, you can't fire Brett Brown right now. And I know a lot of people are saying he has to go, but the Sixers are still in contention, and it's one of those things where no matter what they do right now, everything is going to be decided based off of what happens in the playoffs.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
They are in contention, as you just said, and they're right now they're 7.5 games back of first place, which isn't insurmountable, obviously. But it just seems like they're wildly inconsistent. And I can't help but think that, is Elton Brand happy with what's happened this season so far?
I mean, the thing is, I think when you look at it, it's a roller coaster. So there's some ups, there's some pluses, there's some minuses. You know, if you're a general manager, you know, of course, you want your team to be like one of the top 2 teams in the East. You want them to live up to the expectations. But, you know, again, like they're still a couple games out of the East. I mean, out of second place. So, you know, if you ask me, is he delighted that they lost 3 in a row? No. You know, as a general manager, are you always looking for ways to upgrade your roster? Of course. But, you know, I can't say that, oh, Elton Brand is, like, furious right now, because he honestly thinks that they can turn this thing around. I mean, you know, he thinks that, you know, Josh Richardson, you know, he missed, like, 9 games. You know, they got to get a way to get Al Horford going. I mean, he's confident that they can turn those things around, and we'll see. And then also, let's face it, you know, Elton Brand, you know, he's not afraid of making moves. I mean, last year at the trade deadline, everyone said, what you going to do, Elton? Well, he got Tobias Harris. Before that, he brought Jimmy Butler in. You know, so, you know, he's always going to want to upgrade the roster. They're looking at it. They're out there seeing what they have out there that they can go after and get. So, you know, but I'm not going to say it's doom and gloom. Like, they're looking at it like, oh, my gosh, we're the Golden State Warriors right now. We might as well start tanking. Nah, he hasn't taken that approach yet.
Now, you just mentioned going out and getting guys. I think a lot of fans out there, myself included, think that they need definite help in the bench for sure, but also they need a perimeter shooter. What names are out there that you could see them possibly targeting at the trade deadline, maybe a veteran buyout period, or maybe even right now with like a Jamal Crawford out there?
I mean, Jamal would be a good guy. I mean, you know, Jamal would be. But the thing about Jamal, I think that a lot of teams are trying to do a wait and see with Jamal. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, they're going to look and see, like, okay, we think that Jamal, like a lot of teams are going to wait till February to see what they can do with Jamal, like for the final stretch. But if there's a guy who, let's just say, you know, a dude who has an expiring contract for another team, and that team is not going to make it in the playoffs, well, that team's just going to waive them. So that's what, you know, the Sixers are, like, holding out hope for. And I shouldn't just say the Sixers. That's what a lot of teams are holding out hope for. So I don't want to say people think that I said that about them, but that's what typically happens. You know, in regards to names, you know, it's really kind of tough, like, in regards to a trade because of, to me, you know, the Sixers, like a J.J. Redick type, but they didn't re-sign him. I think J.J. Redick type would be a great guy for the Sixers, but it's just a matter of can they fit him, you know, under the salary cap. I mean, because it's one of those things where J.J.'s making 12, and when you look at their bench, you know, the Sixers don't have a lot of guys making money. So let's just say if the Sixers would try to acquire J.J., you know, would the New Orleans Pelicans be able to take in enough players that it would take to make that trade go through to max salaries? Do you have to get a third team involved? So I think that's why there's kind of like a wait and see. But when you look at Jamal Crawford, I know he's 39 years old, but when you look at a guy like that and you look at the Sixers bench, I don't see anyone on the Sixers bench at this particular time who is better than Jamal at 39 years old. So, you know, that's the intriguing piece. But the Sixers want to see what happens, you know, in regards to the buyout market.
And the final question I'll give you before the end of the interview here is about Norvell Pell. You wrote an article about Norvell that you can read at Inquirer.com. His time is coming up. They need to figure out what they're going to do with Norvell Pell, whether they are going to basically just like have to let him go or they have to add him to the roster on his two-way contract. Is there any update with what they're planning on doing with him? What do you think they're going to do with him? What's the latest with him? Because I think he's shown flashes this season, and I like what I've seen.
I think it's going to be up to him. It's going to be up to him, his agent, and Elton. I'm pretty sure, like, they'll have discussions and they'll decide what to do. The thing is, you would expect that the Sixers would keep Norvell Pell and would let someone else go. I mean, maybe Jonah Bolden gets the axe just because, you know, right now he's with the G League team. He seems like he would probably be the more viable person. You know, maybe Kyle O'Quinn. But, you know, the thing is, you know, you look at Norvell Pell right now, and he brings something to the team that no one else has. He's a specialist. He's a rim protector. He's a shot blocker. And I know that Kyle O'Quinn got the start yesterday, but that was more of, you know, hey, we want to keep our rotation intact. You know, we look at all these other guys, what they can do. You know, Kyle can be, you know, a facilitator, so to speak, a role player. But then at the same time, you know, we'll have Norvell and Mike Scott and these guys coming off the bench. So if you ask me a guy who is more vital to the team's success right now and could fulfill a better role right now, and that's Norvell Pell than Kyle O'Quinn. So it's just a matter of who do you release or who do you trade in order to make a spot for him.
Keith, I appreciate it. You can follow him at Pompey on Sixers. You can read him stuff, his stuff out at Inquirer.com. Thanks so much, man, and we'll talk to you up the road.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on, Pat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.